It was great this morning to have a couple of testimonies from our friends from Normandale, and we're going to hear one now. And it's for me to decide who's going first. So Ashley looks most worried about it. I'm going to ask Rachel to come and get it over. And I'm going to ask Lina if she would just come and pray for you before you give your testimony. Thank you. It's using this tonight, I'm afraid. Okay.
Father, we just come before you tonight. God, and I just lift up Rachel to you as she begins to give her testimony of what you've done in her life. Lord, may it just be a blessing to those who hear, and may you be honored and glorified through this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rachel Tarleton, and I am the youngest adult on the Normandale team. I'm 24 years old, and it's definitely been an interesting experience so far because there are several college students here working with our youth, and I feel closer to them, but yet I have been placed on the adult team, and so I know God has a plan for that, and I'm excited to see what it could be, but it has yet to be revealed. So I look forward to this week and seeing what types of relationships I can develop with people and how I might be able to share with others here. So a little bit about me. I grew up in Moscow, Russia. My parents were missionaries, and my dad worked on the administrative side of things. And we moved over when I was almost 3 years old. So I was very young, moving to a new country. I grew up there all the way until I graduated high school and was 18 and came back to the States for college. So that was my life. I grew up in a big city, and I was surrounded by the Russian culture, and yet I went to a private American Christian school, and so I also had a Christian kind of bubble that I placed myself in. So given the fact that my parents were missionaries is probably a clue that they were believers, and they were Christians, and we went to church every Sunday, and they taught us from a young age to go to church and to have family devotionals and pray often. My mom sang in the choir. So we were just a typical Christian family, you might say. And at a young age, about 6 years old, we had a guest speaker come from America. And that was very exciting because, just as it's probably exciting for you guys to hear even a different accent, when it's your home language compared to Russian, everything just makes much more sense. And so he offered an invitation at the end, you know, asking those who had not made a decision to follow Christ if they wanted to do so. And it finally clicked with me. My parents had been teaching me about God, but it just finally made a connection. So I talked with them more, and I believe that I accepted Christ into my heart that day and that I became a Christian. But my life did not change much on the outside. My heart was changed, but I was 7 years old. I was a good kid. My family was a good family, and that continued. So I don't doubt that I was saved at that moment, but it didn't necessarily have a huge life-changing thing that was visible for others. And also, being in a private Christian school, it was a bit of a pride thing to say, I am a Christian now, you're not, you don't understand yet. It was like the popular thing. And so I now fit in better with my classmates at school because I was part of the cool crowd. So I went on through my elementary years and just continued. I was a good kid. I really was. And continued to go to church with my family and learn about God both from school and church and home. But it wasn't until my middle school, high school years that I started pursuing God on my own. We started going on youth retreats and camps where we were taken out of our homes and, you know, all of the youth together. And you're just challenged to take ownership of your faith. And so during that time, I started to read my Bible and try to figure out how do you spend time with God. And I believe everything my parents are teaching me, but how do I learn on my own also? And then in that same phase of life, like many teenagers, I started dating a guy, and he was a great guy, but I started to depend on him for everything. He was a great Christian guy, But instead of now looking to God for answers or even to my parents, I was just looking to Him. And so I continued on in high school. And when I was 17, my mom passed away suddenly. And that was very life-changing. And we were about to graduate high school. We only had one more year left of school. We're almost full grown, but yet you're still a teenager. And so that was a big transition for me. But I finished out high school and came back to the States for college. And during that time, the same guy that I had been dating followed me to college. And then we started talking, and I said, "You've been there for me in all these situations, you know, through my mom dying, through moving to college to America and leaving Russia, and through all these hard times, and you've always been the same." And he just looked me right in the eyes and said, "But I am not supposed to be the one that you depend on. It's supposed to be God." And that really hit me, because he was a great guy. I was a good girl. We were having a healthy Christian relationship, and yet I had elevated him to a much higher status than he needed to be. And so that shattered all of my plans for life. I was going to marry him. We were going to be a pastor and pastor's wife and raise a family. And now I was in college with 2 years left, not knowing what to do with myself. So I had to figure things out. And I had to start looking for churches on my own and really pursuing God earnestly on my own. I had tried several times, but I kept depending on other people. And as much as it's great to have godly influence in your life, and I love that, I also was depending too much on them. And so after college, I moved to Texas. I have actually only lived in Texas for 2 years. So I'm becoming a Texan, but I still probably consider myself a Russian if you asked me. So in Texas, I was pushed even further to branch out on my own. And it took me a while. And it was through wonderful people like Serena and Lena at Normandale who encouraged me and kind of took me under their wing and helped me get involved in different things that I can now say that I feel involved at Normandale. And I am pursuing a relationship with Christ and trying to just have Him be my sole focus. And I'm also a nanny. That is my full-time job. I watch two young boys, and their parents would probably say that they are Christians. However, it's not very important to them. And so I feel the pressure on me to be sharing Christ with them and raising them up in the way that the Bible teaches us to raise children. So even though they're not my own children biologically, I definitely consider them my boys, and I try my best to teach them and raise them in a way that would be pleasing to God. And that's kind of where I am at now. And like I said earlier, I'm so glad to be here, and I am just very excited for this week and to see how God is going to use me. And I'm excited to get to meet you and get to know most of you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Rachel, thanks so much for that. We're going to sing again together. Praise God. We're going to ask Jim to come and join us at the front here, and I think Ronnie's going to come and pray for him. And I apologize, Jim, for calling you Bill before the service. You didn't notice? No. All right. That's fine. I don't apologize. Okay.
One quick thing before Jim starts talking here. I was reading in Philippians about being one heart, one mind, spirit. And reading that scripture, being here has impacted my life beyond measures. You have been so gracious. And we're so thankful to come and serve alongside of y'all this week. We love y'all. And we just excited to be here. Jim. Dear Father, we just uplift Jim to you right now for just the words you've laid on his heart to speak tonight to the people at Whitley Bay, Lord God. And Lord, as you've shown me and shown us, Lord, that we are one mind and one heart and one spirit. And the same common goal, Lord, is to share our faith with lost people. And Lord, we ask that you would protect this time that Jim speaks. Give him the words that he needs to say just about his life, Lord, and what you have done and the transformation he has gone through, Lord God. And Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your son, Jesus, for what he did on the cross for each one of us. And Lord, help us to take this out to Whitley Bay this week in a great and majestic way, Lord Father. Again, thank you for loving us, and we want to give you the praise in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Do you mind if I step down? I'd rather talk with you than at you. Okay, very good. Hi, Jim Johnson. Grew up in the state of Minnesota. After college, I spent 21 years in the United States Navy. In that time, I had a great opportunity to travel a big piece of the world. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of really good, and I've seen a lot of really bad. And it makes me question a lot of things. What you're looking at here is a very imperfect guy. All right, I'm not going to stand here and say these great things have happened to me, and here I am with all the answers. What I did a lot was I questioned. And the biggest question that came to mind always was why? Why am I here? Why am I in Bosnia-Herzegovina right now watching this happen? Why am I in Bahrain, Kuwait, watching this stuff happen? Why am I in Afghanistan? Why? Why? And the big question, though, that really comes from all that to me in the end is, why faith? Why does God require faith? Why can't he just always be in the sky like a big billboard telling us, hey, I'm here. Okay, just do what I tell you. Why faith? And I ponder that, and I read and I listen to people talk and try to come up with conclusions. And I know that all the conclusions aren't always there, but faith works. And it's because of our free will that God gives us that those two work really well together. We have the choice to go to him. We have the choice to reject him. And that puts human beings in two camps. And it depends upon what is your standard? Does God exist or does he not exist? And that's going to answer that question, why? And faith tells you that he does. And there's so many things out there in the world that I've seen and people I've talked to that I say, I can't believe that he does not exist. But therefore, if God is there, we have the free will to believe. We have the faith. What are you going to do about it? And the only option available is obedience and submission. Now, I know modern Western world, those are dirty words. Nobody wants to submit. Nobody wants to obey someone else. But again, you exercise faith. You obey what he says. And it's not just rules, but it's submitting, giving your heart, giving your mind, giving all of you to him. Things really work. And I know that when I try to take the reins myself, and like I say, I failed a number of times in my life throughout, when I do turn and say, that's God telling me that I'm not supposed to be doing this, or I'm not supposed to be thinking that or saying that, it all then does come back to work. Now, that's not to say that there aren't consequences for everything you do. Many Americans want to live what I call the consequenceless life. They want to live whatever way they want to. But that doesn't seem to work. Only faith works. And I just see that's really the foundation for my life, is that I believe. And even when times are tough, I believe. I believe. And God really does provide what you need to get through those times. And even the good times when you want to say, hey, everything's great, I'm off on my own. Doesn't work. Obey, submit, believe of your own free will. And God makes it work.
Thank you, Jim. Jim's daughter is also on the team. She's at Heaton tonight with the school team. And I'm going to ask somebody else who has little boys that she is very fond of. Lindy is going to come and share. And have I asked anybody to come and pray with Linda? Well, obviously Serena is coming, so that's great. Thank you.
Dear Father, I just lift up Lindy, Lord. I just pray as she speaks her testimony and tells tells us her life and how the Lord has led her through difficult times and good times, Lord. I just pray that we would be blessed by her words, Lord, and I pray you would be glorified. I pray you would just calm her nerves and allow her to speak the words that you would have us to hear. We just thank you for her and what a blessing she is to our church and to her family. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
My name is Lindy Waltrip, and I am 33. Like Pastor Paul said, I have three little boys. Me and my husband have married almost 10 years. We have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So my house is never quiet. They are very, very rowdy, very loud, very typical boys. And it's my story basically begins a lot like Rachel's. My parents weren't missionaries, but we were definitely in church from probably before I was born. We were there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. The difference of mine is my dad didn't go with us. I believe he was a Christian and he grew up in church as well, but him and my mom had some differences on small things of church, like denominations or just some differences in beliefs, and he chose not to go. But by a great blessing, my mother always made us go. It was just, she got up every Sunday morning on her own and got us ready, took us to church, made sure that we were there. And as a child, I'd never questioned it. We didn't get up on Sunday mornings and say every Sunday, why didn't Dad go? Why isn't he coming with us? It was just, we go to church, that's what we do. And my mother's family was very active in church. I had a grandfather who was a pastor. And we were very close to her side of the family growing up. He passed away when I was 5, and it was about the time that I really started questioning the things that I had been learning. So we knew for sure, I heard it at church, I heard it at home, I knew about Christ, I knew about salvation and sin and all of those things. But it is in that time where we were going to a funeral, we were going to people's houses, and people were talking about heaven, that as a child you really start to not exactly know what they're talking about and to want to know more. And one Sunday morning we were in a children's service. One of my cousins was with me. We were the same age. And the pastor that was teaching that Sunday after the service, he was asking us if any of us wanted to follow Christ. We wanted to make a decision. And as he was talking about sin, about always doing the right thing. And my 6-year-old self very sweetly nudged my cousin very hard because she was always in trouble. She was the one that was mischievous. And when we were all together, she was always in trouble. So, of course, I was sitting there telling her, you need to go out and talk to those people. And I'm good. I do what's right and I obey. But you need to go talk to them. And by the Lord's blessing, we both went together that day outside to talk to a lady. And as they were talking, God spoke to my heart. And she was going through the plan of salvation about accepting Christ and about forgiveness of sins and about heaven. And as I'm sitting there, I slowly realized that I want that, that that's for me too. And so at a young age, I accepted Christ. And much like Rachel, you kind of just continue on. You go to church, you do what you're supposed to do. And I would say that it was around high school as well that I began somewhat of understanding what it meant to have my own faith. My dad actually started going back to church with us around my high school years. My mom, I have a little brother that's 11 years younger than me, and something about his birth prompted my dad to start coming with us. And so it kind of changed our family dynamics some. We were starting to do it as a family and to come together. And we also moved at the same time. We kind of had a whole transition as a family. And my aunt and uncle actually ended up being my youth pastor. My uncle did growing up. So although my mom and my dad still wasn't quite what I would call a leader of our home, God gave me another set a parent, so to speak, and my aunt and uncle that I was able to follow and to truly look on them and what it meant to lead and to guide and to have a good marriage. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for the not just them, but the other people that God placed in my life at that time. But around high school, the end of college, is that time where you start just slowly inching away from home and you start realizing you have to make your own decisions. And because of my parents' decisions and the marriage that they had, I was a little bit fearful of what was to come, what was ahead of me. And I started thinking to myself, if I live exactly like my aunt and uncle, or if I live like I'm supposed to the church, that my life should look like this. And so I started planning and saying, you know, the right thing to do would be to go to seminary, to go to Bible college. The right thing would be to marry somebody who's going to be in ministry. And in my mind, I thought if I could do these small things, that it would ensure that I was in God's will, that I was where I was supposed to be, that I would meet a husband who was a good Christian, who was a good leader of my home, and we would have a little bit different life. But as we all know, God teaches us things differently as we come, and it didn't work. Anytime I would look into Bible college or look into seminary, it wasn't for me. It wasn't where my heart was. It wasn't what the direction that it seemed to be going. But it saddened me because it kept pulling me. And as I slowly realized that it wasn't God pulling me, it was my own wants and desires pulling me one way. And God was pulling me completely opposite direction. And to kind of shorten the story to the end, I ended up going to a community college and getting a license in x-ray. I'm an x-ray tech. I work at a children's hospital, which I absolutely love. I've been there 12 years, but it definitely was not a job that I had seen for myself, even in high school. God brought an amazing man into my life that did not grow up as a Christian. He didn't become a Christian until probably about 6 months prior to me meeting him. And yet, God showed me that that's where his plan was for me. So not just my job, but my husband and my marriage as well. And he has grown him into the most incredible man and husband and leader of our home. And although he didn't grow up like I did in church, so many oftentimes he teaches me so much more about what a Christian is supposed to be, because it's still new to him and it's fresh, and he sees it through those eyes where I get complacent sometimes because it's always been. But each time I find myself facing a decision, I fall back into wanting to choose my own way and thinking that I know the answers because I've been in church so long, and I know the answers because I've been taught so often. And God shows me usually almost every time that even that history doesn't always matter, that I have to rely on him in the moment. And through those things has also taught me that I have to rely on him and be a light where he's called me to, not where I think he is. And so I am a working mom. I work full-time. Me and my husband both do. Where we are right now in our church and in our culture as well, it is hard even for me because it...
Now, you may be wondering why these people are looking even more worried than the people who were giving their testimonies. That's because the people who were giving their testimonies knew what they were going to say. I'm going to ask, first of all, in one sentence, now this is going to be really difficult for some of you, in one sentence, what are you doing here? Here in the UK, in Whitley Bay, now, why have you come here?
To grow.
That's fine. Just...
out of obedience to serve with you guys.
I didn't want to miss an opportunity to spend some time with this church and with the kids and the adults here who have become very close to my heart.
Because every time I have come before, because this is my third time, I've just seen how God is at work here. And when you are Christian and
you want to follow God. You want to be where He's at work. So He provided a way, and so I got to come.
That's great. Well, just hang on to it now, because when we come back with the next question, we'll start at that end of conversation. And I've got my own, you see, so I don't need it. I should say, Linda and Serena, you know, we've had, I don't know how many of our young people, how many of our young people have been to the States, Naomi, to Normandale? Quite a few now. And it's had a profound effect, both the Normandale people coming here and our young people going there, in terms of planting a real passion for mission, to serve Christ wherever and to share the love of Christ. And I've seen that, you know, in so many of them, even in some who have never been to Normandale, but it's sort of rubbed off on them from the wider group. And Lina and Serena have been too. There are others as well, but they've been really key in being mums in America for those who have gone over. So we want to say a particular thank you to them for what they've done. But, hear this, hear the passion with which they have come here, because they think it's worth it. I think it's really important that we hear that. But one of the things we talk about, one of the key words that keeps coming up is relationship. Relationship with God, but also our call to help others find relationship with God, but our need to build relationships with them if that's going to happen. And I just wondered if you were able to say a little bit, this is a more difficult question, more searching question, but about what your relationship with Jesus means to you.
Can I just say my testimony?
Yeah, okay. Okay.
The Bible says that God calls us to Himself. And I really believe that. And I, at a young age, my parents took me to church, and I felt God calling me to Himself. And I was a shy child, and I was like, no, I can't. But at one point I said, yes, I have to, because I love Jesus and He is calling me to Him. And it has been everything to me and so important in my life. And God has just taken care of me and my family and just blessed me in so many ways. And just being able to go on mission and make relationships, and I mean, what a privilege it has been to have y'all's kids in our homes. I mean, they have been a huge blessing. And it's all the Lord's work. And so.
Yeah, thank you. It was something that you said to me that made me ask this question, so.
Thanks, Lana. Give me a hand.
Well, your testimony.
What kind of relationship do I have with Jesus? I will tell you that I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents, if you ask them now, they will tell you that I was, but I was not. My parents didn't attend church regularly. They would drop us off at the door and come back and pick us up. And as a young adult, I thought for certain that I was saved. I knew who Jesus was. I read my Bible, I read Scripture, and I prayed. So I knew who Jesus was, and I was a Christian. And as a young adult, I was, to be real honest, I was married very young. I married at 18. I was divorced at 19. And then I was single until Ronnie and I met when I was 28. And I was a while before we were dating, but I knew that I was a Christian. I went to church occasionally, not all the time, but I went to church. I read my Bible. And on a Sunday afternoon, on a moment when I was just asking God why some boy didn't call me that I wanted to call me, the Lord clearly stated to me, He said to me, "Now, who are you?" And I remember it vividly, thinking, wait. I pray. I read the Bible. This is ridiculous. I know. I'm a Christian. And the Lord just impressed, I mean, just huge with the Holy Spirit, just impressed on me. You don't have a relationship with me. We don't. You don't know me. If you think that reading the Bible, knowing Scripture, and just knowing who I am makes you a Christian, what? Satan can quote more Scripture than you. And he knows who I am. So it's at that point that I realized that I truly had to seek God's face. I had to seek Him and have a real relationship with Him. And in my life's experience, He has shown me that it takes relationships with other Christians to grow my faith and to grow deeper. And He has been so faithful to bring me a godly husband and wonderful children and friends that are just simply sisters. And it's been a blessing. I have been blessed. That's all.
Thank you. Ronnie.
I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. Started from the time, Normandale's my home church. And so I've been there a long time. And kind of not make Rachel feel too bad, but I'm the oldest of our group, I think. So so you're good. But, I was raised with godly people around me. Wonderful, VBS was always awesome. Grew up and went into, the youth. And we had a very godly youth pastor. And we really clung to each other in our youth group. Did a lot of great things. Did a lot of silly things that, boys and girls do at an early age. And, God used that time. The one thing I regret, I wish we had the depth that the kids we have, your kids, our kids, I wish we would have jumped in deeper like they have been the last few years. And that's something I reflect on, thinking, man, what we could have done 40 years ago or plus, whatever. And so things kind of went on in my life. I just grew up with the mindset, I'm okay because I'm at church Wednesday and Sunday and Sunday night, and I'm active and I do this and do that. And time kind of went on. Got married, became a deacon at church, thought things were going well. And like Serena, I was previously married. My previous wife came in one day, said, I don't love you no more. I don't want to be a part of church anymore. And that just kind of blew my whole world up. I didn't know what to do other than depend on Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I don't make mistakes and I don't mess up, because I do. It's like David was saying, we're saved by grace. Thank the Lord for that. But God later on brought Serena in my life. And the craziness of it is kind of what she was experiencing, I was experiencing. I was doing all these things. I was teaching youth. I was teaching Sunday school. I was a deacon. I was doing all these things that I thought is what I was supposed to be doing. But it all went back to the relationship with Christ, which I thought I had. And the only reason I thought I had it is because I was involved in doing things. And I started thinking to myself, okay, I'm telling these youth or these young people about what Jesus and what He did on the cross, and you have to have that relationship with Christ. And then I realized, you know what? I don't have that. Here I am, a grown man, married, with children, and I don't have that. And so at that point, I got down on my knees on a Sunday night, February the 8th, 1988, and asked God in my life. And I say that to say this, it's never too late. We sometimes think that reaching people, it's all about the younger generation, in which it's important. But we have friends, we have brothers and sisters at our age, family members who are lost. They need Jesus. So don't ever give up on them, because My mother prayed for me through this whole time. She never gave up on me. And being a part of this congregation, I see your faces, I see your smiles, I see your happiness, and I know there's things in your hearts, reflecting on your children or family members or friends that are lost, and you've got that hunger, that hurt for them. And we're here, it's like we said earlier, to serve alongside with y'all. We're nothing more than just people, coming across the pond, as the kids would say, because we need the Jesus. We know you have friends and people that need Jesus. I thoroughly enjoyed the walk with Brother David, the prayer walk, because it really impacted me and my really slowing down. I'm a crybaby, so forgive me for that. But we were at the train station, and we were watching people getting on and off the train. And there was a song that some of y'all probably remember, a lot of you may, People Need the Lord. And that song just pounded me right here. That I had to come all the way across to Whitley Bay for God to share that with me and tell me that. But I am so thankful I got on that plane and I came here to hear that. And we're excited, like I said earlier, to share and serve alongside with y'all about what Jesus has done in our lives, what He's done in your lives, and what He can do to impact this community here. Because our countries, this world, all we have, the only hope we have is Jesus Christ. And there's a lost and dying world out there that we need to go tell. And just want to let you know, we love y'all very, very much.
Thank you.
Well, I won't give my testimony. Most of you heard that this morning, I believe. But you asked, why am I here? My simple answer was to grow. Now, you ask about relationship with Christ. That's where I need to grow. Like I said, this morning, I didn't come to Christ until I was an adult. Well, as Lindy would say, her husband didn't come to Christ until he was an adult. I bet he would have the same thing to say. It is one of the most difficult things, because as a child, you have people teaching you and leading you and guiding you. As an adult, you come to Christ and you're left to figure it out on your own. We, at least in American churches, and I've been to several, we talk about discipleship, accountability partners. But bottom line is, most people don't have that. I never have had that, and we need more of that. When there's an adult, especially that makes that decision, we need to have people that bring them up, that show them how to be a Christian, how to lead their family. Because right now, that's one of the tough things is, okay, I'm a Christian, great. Then I get married. All right, now I need to be the Christian role model. I need to lead my wife who... Oh, yeah, by the way, grew up in church, accepted Christ at 6 or so, and knows more than I ever will. But God calls me to lead her. But I don't know anything. I don't know how to do that. Now I've got kids. I'm supposed to lead them. Don't know. Like Jim said and Ronnie said, I fail more than... then I get it right, but I'm trying. Not to say that I'm an idiot. I've put in a lot of work, but it's been tough. And I just thank God for people like Ronnie and Serena and the work they do with the youth. And Lynn is my daughter's Sunday school teacher. They've been great for them. So...
thank you. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask another question. I was expecting this to be a busy week leading up to our friends from Normandale coming over. It's actually been a crazy week this week because stuff came up that nobody was expecting to come up. And of course I'm thinking of Laura and her diagnosis with breast cancer. That's not something you expect in a 29-year-old. And, well, she's 30 now, I have to be honest. She was 30 yesterday, but she was 29 at the time. And I must admit, there have been times this week, I'm going to have to be honest and say, why on earth did we bother to invite this lot to come? Because this I can do without. But I want to say this evening, I've just felt in what you have shared and what Rachel and Lindy and Jim have shared has just been precious and has just confirmed to me that this is God doing something. And he's come to do something not just for the people we're trying to reach beyond the church, but I think God is really, just as he's, you know, said, I want to grow you to these folk. I want to help you. I want to build you. Let's understand that he wants to do the same with us as well. That these people are here to minister blessing to us as much as we are here to minister blessing to them. And please, please, on your bulletin today, the names of all the team are there. Will you please... We have the other page which has prayer on it, but use that prayer as much as an aid. Use those names as much as an aid to prayer this week as the other side. Because they're going to be faced with situations and they're going to want to... They need to know that we as a community are praying them through this week. Because I know they're praying for us. And I know that Normandale Baptist Church are praying for us all as well. So let's do that. We're going to move straight into communion now. Thank you if you want to go back. And